Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
You can't increase your generosity simply by giving more. If the increased giving doesn't bring increased joy to your heart, then it's not real generosity. So what can you do to get that kind of generosity, the kind that really does increase your happiness? Jesus said it has to do with your eyes, the way you look at things. Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
What does Jesus mean by good eyes, bad eyes? Well, good and bad probably aren't the best English words to translate these Greek words. The most literal translation would be sincere eyes and evil eyes. Sincere eyes, evil eyes. Now, what does sincere and evil mean? We know what evil eyes are. That's easy, because that's a very common Jewish expression that we see in the Old Testament, New Testament, extra biblical literature. It always refers to greed. That's just a typical Jewish way of referring to greed. The evil eye means greedy or envious attitude in your heart. You look at people, look at things with covetous or greedy, envious look. In other words, selfishness. Selfishness. That's what the evil eye is. Selfishness. On the other hand, Proverbs 22:9 uses the phrase good eye to refer to generosity. And one other place outside of Scripture, a generous person is described with the phrase beautiful eye. So it can be good eye, beautiful eye, just some kind of positive word with the word eye means it's kind of an elastic figure of speech, but just some positive kind of eye means generous, evil eye means greedy. And so you can see that what Jesus is talking about here fits the context of the section just fine. He's talking about possessions and things, and so it's no surprise at all that he's going to be talking about a greedy eye or a generous eye. Although he doesn't say good eye, he doesn't say beautiful eye, he says sincere eye. Why does he say sincere eye instead of good eye? Sincere eye is a figure of speech that's never used any other place anywhere in Greek literature. So what does this mean? Why use that word? The word sincere is a literal translation. It's the word apleus, and if you look it up in a Greek dictionary, here's what the standard Greek dictionary lexicon says. Very first thing, when you look up this word, it says, being motivated by singleness of purpose, so as to be open and above board, single, without guile, sincere, straightforward, i.e., without a hidden agenda. So that's the most straightforward way to interpret this word. That's the most basic meaning. It refers to sincerity. Sincerity. So you say, well, why don't the translators translate it that way? Why do they say good or healthy? Well, the reason the translators tend to opt for alternative translations of this word instead of the most basic, straightforward meaning is because it doesn't really seem to fit the context. The word sincere doesn't really fit. And you do that when you're translating. If you're trying to figure out what somebody means by a word, you take the most common meaning of that word, and if that doesn't match the context of what's being said, then you throw that out and you look for an alternative, some other definition, and that's kind of what they do. But I don't think we need to do that here. I don't think we need to search for an alternative definition of this word. I would suggest that the normal definition of this word, apleus, makes excellent sense in the context if you just back up and take into consideration the whole context of the chapter. The most straightforward reading of the text would be this. If the eye, your way of looking at earthly treasure, is above board, sincere, straightforward, without a hidden agenda, then your whole body will be full of light. That's what the text says. Now, does that fit the context of Matthew? Is there anything in Matthew chapter 6 that has anything to do with being sincere or honest or above board motives, having not having a selfish hidden agenda? Is that in the chapter? Yes! Yes, that's what the whole chapter is about. The entire chapter from starting verse 1 has been all about that. Over and over, Jesus has been saying, don't be like the hypocrites who have a selfish hidden agenda of self-glorification. Jesus has been preaching against selfish mixed motives from the beginning of the chapter, and so now he turns to speak about treasure on earth. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody that he would say, if you look at money and possessions and earthly treasures with selfish mixed motives, that's going to have a bad result. But if you look at possessions and money with pure, unmixed, unselfish motives, that's going to have a good result. So, point of all that, there's no reason to look for an alternative translation of the word. It just means what it always means, sincere. Sincere. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are sincere, without selfish mixed motives, then your whole body will be full of light. That's what it's saying. And by the way, one other factor that supports this interpretation that I'm suggesting is the fact that there is another form of this same Greek word that is used several times in the New Testament. And that word, about half of the time it is translated sincere, and the other half of the time is translated generous. So the idea of sincerity and generosity were just conjoined together in this word. The word had a semantic range that just had both meanings at the same time. That's the way they thought of generosity. A truly generous man is sincere because he's dealing with people without selfish hidden motives. He's singular in his motives. See that? So what Jesus is doing here is showing us the connection between the immediate context about treasure and possessions and money and stuff, and the broader context of the chapter, which is all about having pure, unmixed, unselfish motives. And he's showing us the connection between those two things. He's teaching us that generosity, this is a very important principle, generosity is a matter of the eyes. It's the way you look at things. It's not a matter of just how much you give. Generosity, it's a mistake to think generosity is simply a matter of what you do. Most people think, if you give a lot, you're generous. If you don't give very much, you're stingy. That's not always the case. Sometimes, stingy people give a whole lot because some other motive pushes them to give. The Pharisees gave. They gave 10% of everything. But they were stingy. They weren't generous. They were giving out of selfish motives. There are plenty of selfish motives that can push a stingy person to shell out money. That's why Proverbs warns us not to even accept gifts from stingy people. In Proverbs 23:6, it says, don't eat the food of a stingy man. Literally, it says, don't eat the food of an evil eye, meaning a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of man who's always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little that you have eaten, and you will have wasted your compliments. So the guy seems generous enough. I mean, he's giving you food. He's saying, eat up, knock yourself out, all you want. But in his heart, he's stingy, and the wisdom of the Proverbs says, you run into a guy like that, don't even eat, don't even accept the gift, because he's going to, you think you practically owe him your soul because he gave you this meal. You know, that's the way it is when you accept a gift from a stingy person. You're better off not to accept it. So all that to show that it's possible for a stingy person to be a giver. The issue of stinginess versus generosity is not mainly a matter of your actions alone. It's a matter of what's in your heart. It's a matter of your eyes, your spiritual eyes, the way that you look at people and things. Which is why Jesus speaks here about generosity rather than giving. He's talking about having generous eyes rather than just giving. He doesn't even use the word giving here. He's not concerned about giving per se, giving by itself, just the act of giving. He's always concerned about the heart, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, not just external actions. And so he's talking about a generous eye, because you could routinely give away 70% of your income and still have a stingy eye and then the only reward you'd get out of all that is a whole life full of darkness. This is why God loves a cheerful giver, right? A cheerful giver. Cheerful giving is the only kind of giving that really counts as actual giving. Because grudging giving, reluctant giving, giving that feels like a loss to you. You know, you write out a big check and put it in the offering box, and that feels like a loss. That's not giving. That's not generosity. That's not the generous eye. That's the evil eye. If it's not driven by joy, then it's coming from a selfish heart rather than a generous heart, evil eye rather than a sincere eye, and it's worthless. Which is really bad news for stingy, selfish givers, but it's great news for those of you who have generous eyes, but you can't give for whatever reason. Maybe you don't have any money. Or some of you would love to give if you could, but you don't. And you prove that by the little things that you can give, like your time and your energy and your prayers and the little tiny bit of money that you do have, but you don't have very much. And you wish you could give more, and if you did give more, if you had more, you'd give more. I think of wives whose husbands, you know, won't let them give. Sometimes you have a Christian wife, non-Christian husband, she wants to give, and he won't let her do that. He won't let her put anything in the offering or give to the poor. But it's in her heart to do it, and she wants to do it, and she proves that by you know, the little bit that she does control, her resources, her time, her energy, her talent, she's generous with all that. She'll you know, forego a cup of Starbucks, you know, the pocket change that she has, you know, she'll give that. She gives what she can. That woman's life will be full of light. Full of light because she has generous eyes even though she doesn't have a lot of money to give. So it's possible to be the biggest giver in the church and be full of darkness, and it's possible to give $2 a week and have your life full of light. The issue is your eyes.
There's a great deal of linguistic connection in the Bible between insight, generosity, and happiness. They're all connected with light. Give some thought to how you might increase the overall level of happiness in your life through greater, more heartfelt generosity.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.